And we're rolling. Hello, everybody. Let's just start with we are sorry that we didn't release an episode last week.
Indeed.
We had time technically, but we just didn't really think about it. And
I mean, we didn't really have that much time.
Last week was a little crazy for me.
You had a lot of work, and
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
I didn't. But
yeah,
I mean, work, but I had baby work.
Yeah.
And yeah, just didn't really, I don't think it would have worked out anyways if we tried.
Yeah. So yeah, we are sorry that we didn't release one. But we have a new episode today out, so we'll almost right away go into it. I just wanted to say that I had to Google nepotism earlier because I didn't know what it meant.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you know what it means?
I feel like if it was used in a sentence, I would know, but off the top of my head,
it's favorism or
so if you favor somebody or if you give somebody like benefits based on
family
bias, basically.
And it's more family.
Yeah.
So that nepotism is more like, okay, my son is taking over the firm because he's my son, not because he's qualified.
Mm-hmm.
Because I saw a meme with what is like a nepotism that you can't just that you or not judging, and there was a photo of Steve Irwin and his son.
And so,
I was like, I mean, you can't be mad at
but
that.
But that's not really nepotism. His son took over after he died.
Technically, but he
probably left it to him.
He stepped into his footsteps, and he kind of.
I wouldn't call that nepotism.
The legend, though, he kind of basically built his fame and his. I mean, he was super early on as a kid on Fallon and stuff. So he kind of, if it wasn't his father, like, I mean, it's only because of his father, because the things he does. But nobody's mad at him because he's such a lovable, sweet guy.
But I still wouldn't call that nepotism.
It is.
But it's not favoritism.
I mean, it is. It's not like that his father chose that, obviously. But again, he did probably because he left him everything. So it kind of is, though.
Then nepotism, you can call, say, anytime anybody leaves anything in their will to a family member, that's nepotism.
Yeah, wait, I have to think. Nepotism is the practice of giving unfair advantage to family or friends, particularly when it comes to job opportunities or promotions. And that's what it is. He got promoted because of his father, because of his family. So
now there's a crying baby.
And now there's a crying baby, and we are going to start with the episode. Today's topic is not about nepotism. Sorry, it was just a little detour. Today I thought I don't know if it's interesting to anybody, but I feel like it might be. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about our relationship, like a little history, or just see how we grew together,
mm-hmm.
Things we learned, things we look back to and say, okay, thankfully we overcame those things or we worked through those things.
And just a forewarning, I'm not at all prepared for this episode, and Wifi is prepared, so
I'm not really prepared, but like when we started dating, I don't want to go through a whole backstory because we did basically the first two episodes,
like how we met episodes.
I mean, they're super old and super weird and cringy probably, but you can find everything in there if you're interested. But my first question to you would be what like qualities initially drew you to me or drew me to you? If you can think of anything.
Yeah, initially is a little hard because when we first met, we were 15 and 16.
Nah, I don't count that.
But as our relationship, like as our friendship grew, I'm definitely somebody who falls for a sense of humor.
That's me.
Most of my, I mean, all of my best relationships have been with people who are, like, the ones I look fondly on are people who are funny.
That's me.
That's me. So definitely a sense of humor, which to me also kind of goes hand in hand with like a zest for life.
Yeah.
You know, you just find the joy in the little things. And that always kind of seemed like the type of person that you were. So like, even when you had your accident, I remember chatting with you on Facebook after your accident, like maybe a month after or 6 weeks or something after.
Yeah.
And you were even then still so... I mean, obviously you had a lot of trauma that you didn't work through yet, but you were also coping a lot with humor, and yeah. I'm similar in that sense. I think that kind of drew me to you initially.
I feel like initially I got drawn to you by your looks, your boobies. No, your boobage. No, also you're funny, you're similar humor. Also your creative side. Because I never really, I mean, it's not true. Some of my girlfriends, ex-girlfriends were a little creative, but you know.
I mean, one for sure.
Yeah, one for sure. And I think a big thing for me was also that we were pretty open with each other right from the get-go. And later on, I mean, I will probably come to that again. But later on, I really also liked the mirror that you showed me. That you basically didn't let things fly easily, or just ignored things that I did that are just not right when you're in a relationship. And I really liked that too, because I never had that before.
But that wasn't initial, obviously.
No, it wasn't. But that was also part of why I feel like I stuck with you. What was like a most memorable or funny early date that you still remember?
I remember when you came to see me in Portland. I have very fond memories of that time, because I feel like we laughed the whole time.
We did, yeah.
Like, we had so much fun together. But I specifically remember like driving... in the car, like in my car with the top down, and just like blasting Prince and singing along and dancing in the car while we were driving. And it just like, it felt so easy. And so like, it was so easy to be myself. I feel like where I hadn't really had that for a while, where I could just be myself fully. And I just feel like we laughed the whole time. So
we did, yeah.
I don't really know that there's a specific
pause. Oh yeah. I'll just, I mean, it's fine. The baby's here, so that's all part of the whole thing. Yeah, one of the things that stuck with me kind of was like, the one, like that first day when I arrived, when we went up to Mount
Tabor.
Yeah. And we walked around there, and then we just sat on the bench and watched those weird teenagers, and then we sat in the grass and looked at downtown Portland, and I was obviously super like tired and had like massive jet lag, but it was such a nice time and also a super nice day. I mean, it was summer, early summer, and it was super warm and just very nice.
What I was gonna say before she started fussing was, there specifically was the day that we went to the really old school movie theater. I forget what it's called.
Oh yeah.
And we got popcorn and we saw the original Muppet movie, which is one of my favorites.
That was so
cool.
It was
just so fun.
That theater was so cool. Like, it was I think there was a film print of the movie. I think they didn't, it wasn't even the digital cinema, it was a film print. That was so cool. Okay. Do you have any aha moments where you knew that this thing that we had was something more special or like, I don't know, different compared to other relationships?
My aha moment was, I think honestly, our at least for me, it was very much trauma based, but I mean that in a good way. Like, we both had experience with different types of trauma, both in relationships and also just in life in general. And we talked so openly about those things together. And I feel like just that dual vulnerability was something that was really special because I'd never had that before in a relationship. I didn't have anybody that I could talk so openly about and I felt so comfortable with who also got it, you know, like it, I didn't have somebody who just understood without me having to explain too much, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like we came from a similar background, I guess, in that sense.
I mean, the biggest aha moment, I think, was with you in the car in Portland where we talked about my accident and my hiding my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And like you encouraged me to just lose the sock that I usually used to wear, which first of all was a pain in the ass because it was like just a black sock that I cut two holes in. And so mm-hmm. I wore it like a glove. I think that was like one of the biggest things because that again, you basically showed me a mirror kind of and you just pushed me in a direction where...
But you're talking about two different moments.
No, why?
Yeah, because the sock thing was still when you, before you came to visit.
Oh, that was before. Oh, yeah, right. And the car thing. Oh, and I remember. Yeah, the car thing was where I talked about the accident.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's true. No, that's true. The sock thing. But the sock thing was before.
Because you didn't wear it when you came.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. But that was, I think, yeah, a big one. I think challenges in growth are biggest or very big things in our mm-hmm. relationship. So like early challenges, how did we overcome them? What was a big challenge for us?
I mean, we probably would say the same one.
Yeah.
When I first came here, that was the first time you had lived with somebody and, like a girlfriend. And, I guess I had a little more experience with it, but then we had this communication problem because of the language barrier.
Because you wouldn't speak German.
Because I didn't speak German really yet.
You refused to speak German.
I tried. So we didn't communicate very well and we misunderstood each other a lot because of just differences in how we would say things in our language. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of misunderstandings and arguments and
yeah,
the beginning was actually pretty rough.
It was. There was a lot of fighting. I mean, usually you don't move in together right away. Usually you get to know each other and then slowly phase into that. And then you're like, oh, I'm here all the time anyway, so let's just move in. But yeah, that did not happen for us simply for the reason because you came over here and you didn't have anything and you weren't really able to afford housing alone here.
I mean, technically I was an au pair, so I could have lived with the family.
You could have lived with the family, yeah.
But we just decided not to do it that way.
Yeah. Granted, the au pair phase wasn't as bad because you were gone a lot. You had your fixed schedule. But once you stayed here and you didn't have work and you figured out what to do next, that was like, I think, the hardest phase because we were technically constantly just mm-hmm. on each other.
And but that was a short phase because the au pair thing ended.
A year after
we got married. And then that summer, I was still working, even though I was working at the pool.
Yeah, that's true.
And those were like 10-hour shifts, so I was gone still quite a bit.
Yeah, but it was all constantly, technically, for 2 years at least. I mean, a learning is definitely that what helped us was trying to figure out communicating better, mm-hmm. trying to figure out how to manage fights. Arguments, mm-hmm. especially because we both tend to become passive pretty fast. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a pretty big thing, especially for me, because I didn't really have, like, if I had a fight,
you were just able to leave.
I would just leave.
Yeah.
And would never really resolve it. And it would just still sit there.
Just let it kind of fizzle out on its own.
Right. I think that was a big learning how to come back to a fight and say, hey, I'm sorry for what I said, or hey, I'm sorry for what I did. that upset you or whatever.
For me, though, the learning was kind of the opposite, to learn how to like let it be okay for a while, like just let it go for a while and like give you the space to kind of come down and give you the chance to come back. Whereas, yeah, you know, for me, that was really hard, where I just wanted to like, I wanted it resolved right away.
Yeah.
And it was really hard for me to like learn to just take the space and let it be for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, obviously, therapy helped us a lot, I think, mm-hmm, in that regard. Just talking to someone outside of that bubble of ours, mm-hmm, and get, like just an opinion on things and tips and little tricks that we could do or implement to prevent bigger fights. Moving together was a big life choice, but from moving together to getting married, nothing really changed.
Not really.
I think what would really changed a little bit, I think, in our relationship, or what was like a new life stage, was when you finally like had school and mm-hmm, pursued something that you wanted to do, mm-hmm, that made you happy.
That was the fall after we got married.
Yeah. I think that was a big thing for us and also for you, where you grew a lot, you learned German again.
Yeah.
Like you were forced to learn German in a very different environment.
Mm.
And then obviously working right away for your practicum, mm-hmm, to...
Internship,
yeah. Mm. To gain the experience and to, mm-hmm, basically talk German all day long with, yeah, patients.
And still do.
Yeah. I think that helped you and us a lot to also communicate better a little bit, and for, yeah, you to gain the confidence to...
That's what I was going to say. I think moving here, I mean, we talk about that in an episode, I think an earlier episode.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you come to a new country and you don't speak the language,
yeah,
your confidence just goes way down.
Yeah.
Because you're scared almost. You have this fear of communicating with people because you don't want to be wrong, or you don't want to sound stupid. And I think that was also a big part of like our arguments, because I just wanted to be around you all the time, because, mm-hmm, I just was feeling otherwise lonely. And like, yeah, what do I do?
Yeah.
I'm not confident enough to go do something by myself and,
yeah,
go meet people. So that was a big confidence booster when I started school. And at first it was really, I mean, it was hard the whole time. But at first, especially, it was like I didn't understand anything. Mm-hmm. And I was coming home and just so stressed and exhausted and,
yeah,
having to translate everything that I learned. But it ended up being like the best thing, because it gave me the confidence to just speak, yeah, when I need to speak. And I think that also ultimately helped the two of us too.
How have your individual goals and or dreams shifted over the years? Or did they?
I mean, basically, ever since I set my sights on massage,
mm-hmm,
we've talked about that too in the podcast, where it's kind of always been a career move that was in the back of my head. Like, I can remember since 2009,
mm-hmm,
but I just never pursued it in the US. I never thought like, oh, I could do that. It was just it's a weird thing. And even as a kid, I loved it. So,
because like, you're not an Asian old woman.
That's horrible to say.
It is. Sorry.
But like, even as a kid, I would like massage my mom and like charge her.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I've somehow always known that that's what I was meant to do, but I never pursued it. And then when I came here and decided to do it,
mm-hmm,
once I set my sights on that, that was like my ultimate goal. So I feel like they haven't really shifted or changed much, okay, since then.
Yeah.
With the exception of like building up my own business and,
yeah,
adding to it, like with energy work and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that's not really relationship based.
No, not really. No, I.
I don't know if that's what you were asking.
I mean, technically, it's life, so it doesn't really. There is no real right or wrong answer. I mean, for me, technically, nothing really changed. I'm still trying to figure out what I want to do. I'm trying new things, and I'm, mm-hmm, shifting now more towards video in terms of my career. When I did more, or did equally amount of websites and stuff like that, which is working out pretty well, I have to say. another question I think is kind of interesting, like, what is the definition of love for you, and did it change over time?
I'm sure it changed since I met you, but or like since we started dating, but I can't say what it really was before you and I were a thing, but definitely for me now, it's, I don't know, like open communication. We talk about that. Like if you can be open with somebody and vulnerable with somebody, mm-hmm. then there's true love there. If you can allow yourself to be vulnerable, because that's a scary thing, I think, to be, and so to feel safe to do that.
Yeah.
Just having somebody that you always want, like you don't get sick of, you know, like mm-hmm. I don't get sick of you, and that's weird to me. Even though my past relationships, I would say I loved them at the time, and I look back on them fondly, most of them. I wouldn't say that it was like I got sick of them, you know, I got sick of them still. At times where I was like, I don't want to be around you right now. I don't really want to like hang out with you and do stuff with you. But I have that with you. I always want to do something with you.
I have the same thing. Yeah.
Unless we're fighting, which is also rare these days.
Super rare.
There's not a time where I'm like, I don't really want to go with you to this place because I just want to be by myself. You know, I enjoy being with you. So
that's nice. Yeah.
I think that's a good sign that it's love.
Yeah. No, it is a good sign. The definition of love, I never really thought about that. It's a good question, but I never really thought about like what it means to me.
Mm.
But I think it's like, it's a combination of you feel comfortable in every situation. You feel open to share things. And that was hard for me at the beginning. It's still not always easy, but it's already so much easier to just be open when I'm not feeling great or if something's bothering me. Also the not getting sick, if that's a good point, because like looking back in my other relationships, mm-hmm. there were points where, especially with my last one, there were multiple points where like, okay, I'm done with this relationship. I know that it's not going to last, like things like that. But I never had that with you. So, yeah. I have something else I wanted to ask you, but oh yeah. When is your appointment at the ass doctor because of your face?
You know, I would laugh at that, but you already told me that this morning.
People are laughing. Yeah. No. What is something you can appreciate most about me, or me about you?
I mean, most of the things I just said. I appreciate that we laugh so much together. I appreciate that we grow together, and that you're willing to grow with me and learn. And that it's not, you know, it's a two-way street in our relationship. I don't think it's ever really been very one-sided.
Yeah.
And I just appreciate that you're willing to kind of like, I mean, grow is the best word I can think of, but that we can do all of that together, and that being open and vulnerable with each other. And that's kind of what I appreciate most about our relationship, that's the best I can say it.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. Also, like right now, especially with Marley being here, the roles, I very much appreciate you for doing the things that you do, while letting me do the things that I do right now and need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a, you know, about who does more, who does less. It's about, okay, when I can, I help here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same for you, and it's the same for me. It's not about a competition, or it's just a let's work together and let's do this thing together. one thing before, there's a silly question. Can you share a time when you felt incredibly grateful for me? It sounds so stupid because I'm asking the question. We should ask the questions ourselves, like to us. But yeah. I will start with the question.
Because I need to think for a minute about a good one.
I mean, I felt incredibly grateful for you going through the things you have been through to get Molly here. Like the process, I'm very grateful for that, because otherwise we probably would have not had her.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
That's all
the
sweet.
Pain and all the, you know, suffering and not suffering, but...
I mean, some
hardship and just I very much appreciate that.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I mean, just to go back to like the beginning of our relationship, I am grateful just that you welcomed me so openly, even though it was
my mom. I think she's still like holding crutches.
So like openly and even though it was like really scary for you and completely new for you.
It was, yeah.
That's a really big thing for somebody to do that's never lived with a girlfriend, to be like, hey, someone who literally has no other option but to stay.
You know me, sometimes I don't think about things. I just do things.
I wouldn't say that that's true. I think you
sometimes, think not always.
Most of the time, though, I feel like you think things through before you do them.
Situations where I just decide things based on a whim.
I mean, yeah, but I wouldn't say that you're... I wouldn't say that's consistent with you.
Nah, it's not. It's not.
But, I mean, without that, like, trust and without that leap, this probably wouldn't have happened. Like, none of this would have happened.
Probably not, no.
Like, if you would have said, I can't live here, okay, yeah, then I probably would have stayed with the au pair family, and then eventually we would have maybe moved in together.
Maybe, yeah.
I guess. But... I don't know. I feel like my life would have just ended up so different if it would have gone that way. And I am just grateful that you are so open to the chance, like giving us a chance.
Danielle, don't smother me, huh? I'm trying to just live my life. Be. And also try to keep my options open.
I obviously. See. As a new dad, you want to keep your options open.
Yeah. Don't want to be... like tied down to something.
Okay.
Yeah. What is like an embarrassing memory that you have of us? Can you think of something?
Embarrassing?
Yeah, or like something that cringe on.
I don't think anything that we... I don't have any cringy things with us that like are embarrassing, quote embarrassing things, are more funny to me. Like our silly stuff, like making the Barbie... the music video.
So yeah,
like other people might find that super cringy, but that's, I find true. It hilarious, which we can link in the description.
No, we're not linking it.
But you sure?
On my YouTube.
We did like a music video for our wedding, but it was to the Barbie Girl song. And
your mom dared us to do it.
Yeah, but she told us to do a Disney song, and we decided to do that instead.
Yeah, that's true.
But he plays Barbie, and I'm Ken.
Yeah.
And it's just funny. So go watch it. But yeah, I can't think of anything embarrassing.
No, I mean,
that, you know, most of the stuff that we do that's super silly is just fun.
Me neither, yeah. There's also a question about in-jet jokes. I like the way Bean talks.
Yeah, me too.
Like the way we think that Bean talks, and that he's like a potty mouth and just says fuck you all the time and very mean things.
Like fuck you, I hate it here.
Yeah, go fuck yourself. I hate you. I hate your family. Or fuck your family and stuff like that. Yeah,
that's fuck you and your mom.
Yeah, he's well behaved, but he has a potty mouth. Yeah. So last question, I think. What is something you would like tell someone who is what would you tell your younger self in terms of dating, like dating advice or something?
Dating advice.
Or just like advice on like love life or whatever.
I don't know, not to take it so seriously maybe when you're so young. Like take it seriously, not to say like play fast and loose with the rules, but just I don't know, be more yourself. Like, don't be afraid to be yourself. Because when I was younger, I was very much trying. Like, I was a people pleaser. Mm. And I've been working on that for the last few years. And I feel like my younger self would have benefited from not trying to please everybody all the time.
Yeah.
And just trying to be more authentic to who I was. And if people didn't like me for that, then that's okay.
Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. I think that I would tell my younger self to... obviously have fun in the sense that you can date people, but also take it seriously in the sense that, you know, it's still people.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to hurt them because of nothing. I mean, I never really did that anyways. I was not the type to just jump around a lot. And also I think the biggest one is to find yourself first, like to to truly understand who you are, because otherwise you can't really be yourself.
Mm.
And because with that, when you understand who you are, you also know what you want.
Yeah.
Or you better can understand what you want. And that helps, I think, in terms of relationship. Because otherwise you end up with the wrong people.
Yeah.
Or you end up with people you try to please, but again, that usually doesn't work out for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yes, everybody, it was a little different episode. It also wasn't a great long episode. So I'm sorry in advance.
I mean, a little different. It was kind of going back to our roots a little bit with how we started.
No, but we also had to pause the episode for a night.
They don't know that.
Yeah, they know. I'm just saying it, putting it out there. We will release a new episode next week again as well. So bear with us. We try to time it so the baby is sleeping, or we just put her somewhere where we don't hear her scream.
That's horrible. We would never do that.
No, we would never do it. Obviously. But yeah, you know, subscribe, please. Head over to Patreon if you want to help us out there, and say hi to Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
And yeah, take care. Until next time.
Watch out for deer.
Ooh.